Chateauhouyuk is, in many ways, really par excellence, the Neolithic village of the Near East. By 7000 BC, we have a full community there, some very impressive architecture, population running up into the hundreds, possibly the low thousands. Farming is the principal occupation, as well as stock raising. And we have some remarkable finds, which are now on display in the Ankara Museum, the Museum of Anatolian Civilizations. Among them are some of the earliest statue work from Asia Minor. There's a famous mother goddess figure flanked by two felines. They may be lionesses, we're not sure. But it looks like an early depiction of the later mother goddess known as Kubele or Kybele in Greek sources and Roman sources. We also have a remarkable bull room, as it's called, and we're still not sure what it is, but it has various bones of the skeletal remains of the bulls that have been sacrificed. It looks like a ritual area, and it's believed that these are offerings to a god associated with the bull, later known in Hittite and Greco-Roman mythology as Teshub or Zeus, respectively. And this is the earliest version, probably, of the weather god of Anatolia that we have in Chateauhouyuk. Furthermore, there's a remarkable mural painting which shows the eruption of the volcano in the vicinity, and that's on display. It's from, I think, level 6 or 7, and it's tentatively dated to about 6500 B.C. These are remarkable finds indeed, and this site was in continual occupation through the Neolithic Age into what is called the Chalcolithic or the Copper Age, which begins about 4500 B.C. What it does show is that the peoples of Asia Minor had achieved a very sophisticated technology, a material culture, and that the peninsula was characterized by settlements of agriculturalists combined with stock raising. And by 3500 BC, there is a network of these communities stretching across the peninsula and closely linked with their counterparts in the Levant and Iran. And that's an important point to keep in mind. Meanwhile, Neolithic villagers had moved from their settlements in these regions into the great floodplain of Mesopotamia, Sumer. And by 3500 BC, the ancestors of the Sumerians, the historical people of lower Iraq, had built the first cities and had achieved breakthroughs in writing, which gives us the chance to look at historical records, which substantially changes our understanding of the ancient world, and furthermore had achieved surpluses in agriculture unheard of. In the rich, fertile river valleys, you could get 2 and 3 harvests. This required mobilization of labor, irrigations, dikes, dam systems. But it led to the birth of some 20 major cities in Sumer, the most famous of them Ur, excavated by British archaeologists in the earlier part of the 20th century. And what you see in lower Mesopotamia is the beginning of bureaucratic states, first apparently controlled by the temple organizations, and eventually by kings who emerged by around 2900 BC. And one of these early kings is remembered in later Sumerian legend as Gilgamesh. Now, that development in Sumer, which is quite distant from Asia Minor, had a profound influence on the civilization of Asia Minor. Sumerian merchants, first as agents of the temple and eventually as agents of their kings, once kingship is well established, had to search out materials not offered by the river valley civilizations. And you have to remember, the reason why Sumer is so successful is that essentially you're farming muck. And that doesn't allow for the type of hardwoods, the stone, the building material, the metals necessary to sustain high urban civilization. You have to trade. And the Sumerians in cities have the specialists who can manufacture goods on a level that no Neolithic village would ever be able to do. This included textiles, jewelry, all sorts of fine furniture, tools, the development of bronze tools particularly, that is the fusing of copper and tin to create a stronger alloy. All of these are products offered by the great urban centers. And the Sumerian merchants fanned out across the Near East, seeking sources for the raw materials that didn't have. And that drew them inevitably into Asia Minor. Asia Minor was ideal for a variety of reasons. One, stock raising that provided salted meat, leathers, all sorts of goods from the animals' dairy products, which could be exported. Timber.